Yo, welcome to the Two Broken NYC podcast. This is Johnny Facts. I'm right here with my co-hosts,
Axel Flex.
Yo.
What's up, everybody?
Yo, so today we're just going to talk about how streaming is changing the entertainment industry.
Yeah, so like today our plan is to talk about Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, whether we think their changes are positive, negative, in between, and just everything. So, Johnny, where do you want to start it off for these guys?
Well, we got to start with the OG, you know? We got to start with the original gangster of streaming, which is Netflix.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Netflix is the OG streamer, and for anyone that may be living under a rock, Netflix pretty much came out in, I'd say, like the mid-2000s. They started off as a DVD provider. And what they would do is you sign up, I think you pay them a monthly fee. They would send you a DVD, whatever DVD you wanted to watch. You would watch it, then you would mail it back. You don't have to go to no stores.
No Blockbuster.
Part of the reason why Blockbuster is out today, as everyone knows, Netflix just destroyed them. But you will send that DVD back, and then once they get it back, you put in your order for your next DVD, and you just keep it going until you're done.
That company didn't stop. It didn't just stop with DVDs. The company realized that DVDs is an old medium to watch content. So it decided to go through the streaming route by connecting to the internet, which boomed for the company. That raised the company. If you own Netflix stock back in the day when it was selling DVDs, the stock went up for you.
Yeah, Netflix, I'm not, like you said, if you guys are living under a rock, Netflix is a penny stock company. Today, let me just go on Dr. Google right now and give you guys an estimate of what this is at. By the way, we are not no financial advisors. Today, Netflix closed at $529.56, everybody. Just imagine turning your pennies into half a G. How does that sound for you, Johnny?
Sounds amazing, man. Like, it sounds a bit... Like, if you would have got that stock before Netflix popped and everyone was just calling you dumb for investing, yo, if you cash in those stocks now, you can just tell everyone, just like, yo, so who's dumb now, huh? Who's dumb now, right?
And to anyone listening out there, if you caught Netflix or you caught any of these companies, you guys are just geniuses at trading stock, please message Johnny and I. We need your help.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Definitely,
like the name of this podcast is Two Broken NYC. We want to change that to Two Rich in the NYC. If you feel me.
Yes. So anyone out there that's great at trading, just give us a call. We don't have much to invest, but we got a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but back to the story of Netflix growth. So they started streaming. They made themselves available on Blu-ray players, smart TVs, or smartphone, everything. Netflix was just everywhere, and you can watch whatever they had. I can't say you can watch anything, but they had content deals with channels such as Nickelodeon. I believe they also had content deals with Disney, and they also had movies at the time.
Well, they also had deals with Marvel, DC.
Yeah.
Before they created their own platform, their own streaming platforms, Netflix during its early days had a lot of access to content that you couldn't see on regular television.
Yeah.
Let me just add this in here. And because of the fact that it's not on regular television, the content that's been released on Netflix also had less restrictions for anyone that wants to watch shows that are similar to HBO or Stars.
But one quick side note before we dive into how Netflix has changed the industry. Do you know Netflix still has a DVD plan
They do?
They do. For you folks that still got DVD players and you're looking to get some movies, check Netflix out.
Yeah, that is some great promo right there, man. It'll be good. Yo, it'll be great if Netflix,
you know. Yes, yes. And by the way, if any executives from Netflix are listening, just give us a DM, an email, whatever you feel like, and we'll definitely advertise for you guys.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Castlevania. You know, we had a conversation about that. Big fan of Castlevania. Can't wait to see what the new He-Man reboot's gonna be like on Netflix. You know.
But enough of the sponsorships that we don't have. Let's get into the
video. We can dream, though. We can dream. But yeah, so, let's get back on schedule. Let's get back on this daily program.
Yeah. So I guess let me ask you, Johnny. Do you think Netflix has a positive impact or a negative impact? Just the whole TV entertainment industry?
I would say it has both. The positive aspects of Netflix is that it gave many content creators more platforms to expose their content, right? So say you got a content creator that can't get his work on channels like Fox, CW, TBS, Netflix is your route. And Netflix, most occasions, allow the creators to fully create the way they want to create, you know?
Yeah.
And also, it has more exposure.
Yeah, and I think what Johnny's going along the lines for, not Netflix while it was growing, but in today's society, Netflix has a huge audience. It's available in many countries where anyone for, what is it, like, $8.99, $9.99, $10.99, somewhere around that. You stream monthly, and you're able to get access to all of these producers' TV shows and movies. But not only is giving these content producers the ability to produce content, it's also giving aspiring actors and actresses the ability to now star on a Netflix TV show.
Yeah, like, if you're new to the whole acting game, if you're new to the whole movie industry game, or just making your own television show, Netflix does give you a chance. There's a lot of shows that they got their first exposure thanks to Netflix, such as BoJack Horseman. Now, right now it's on Comedy Central, but originally that show was on Netflix.
But it doesn't even stop there. Netflix doesn't just have a lot of new people coming on there. They have a lot of already well-established actors on their Netflix-based TV shows and movies as well. I mean, they have deals with, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam Sandler. Believe they had an intricate deal with Kevin Hart. Is there anyone else that I'm missing there, Johnny?
Let me see. Adam Sandler, Kevin Hart. One of Adam Sandler's friends, I got his name, but he is the creator of Big Mouse.
Okay.
And David Spade. I think they're gonna make a deal with David Spade for a couple of projects.
Yeah, and I mean, to anyone that's familiar with the whole Nickelodeon Avatar series, Netflix is actually coming out with their own live action Avatar TV series. So once again, Netflix is picking up from a big show, a big Nickelodeon show. Netflix struck deals with Marvel where they created their own Marvel TV shows. So you're talking about something that went from just taking other people's content and just regurgitating it to now having a mixture of other people's content to allow to pretty much being its own TV producer. Except they're not airing on live TV. They're airing whenever you guys have time to watch it. Which is probably the selling point for Netflix. There's no need to pay a DVR fee. There's no need to stay up 9 p.m. to watch a show.
No ads. And
let's face it. At the end of the day, most people got 9-to-5 jobs. Ain't nobody wanting to wake at 10 p.m. in the night to watch a TV show. And nobody wants to pay extra for that DVR. So what do? You watch it on a streaming service like Netflix when you got time over the weekend.
And another key factor that made Netflix the way it is now is that they heavily go into binge watching. So instead of waiting every Monday, every Tuesday of the week to watch a show, you got all the episodes of that season, you know? And,
you know, like, let's just say you guys take a one week vacation. What was the need to go to some resort? You just stay home for that week. You watch yourself a nice 4 or 5 seasons of any TV show on Netflix, and you just call it a day. You don't got to even leave your house anymore. 4 seasons, 1 week, no questions asked. You can do it on Netflix.
And for a couple of shows, that worked, such as Orange is the New Black, such as... Shoot, what was the one that's kind of like a little bit of a horror movie, a little bit? Stranger Things.
Yeah, and I mean, so I believe both of those are Netflix-based shows, but then if you go into content that Netflix had from other producers, they had the Avatar series, they had, at one point they used, well, I think they presently still have The Office, great show to binge watch if you guys currently have Netflix and you haven't done it. They had, they had the USA TV shows, which was Psych, White Collar, Suits. They currently still have the CW TV shows, such as Arrow, Flash, DC Legends of Tomorrow, Vampire Diaries, the originals. So you just take a view, whatever you feel like binge watching, they got it.
Yeah, like Netflix started the wave that eventually led to HBO Max, led to Disney Plus, DC, the DC streaming network, and other streaming platforms that, NBC streaming platform as well. Netflix was the originator that started the whole craze, started this whole wave, and a lot of people are still for it.
Pretty much its own industry, which it was its own industry, but now you have all these well-established content producers, TV producers that are now stepping into Netflix's playing field. They're now becoming streamers, and that is where one of the cons come in, because now instead of having one streaming service to pay for, everyone is fighting for streaming rights. Everyone wants their own content to be on their own streaming platform. And now you got a million different streaming services you gotta pay for if you want to watch 10 different things.
Yeah, and you also gotta add in the fact that since there's more competition, it leads to more development on these shows and movies that these stream platforms will have, right? There's gonna be, you're gonna have more A-list celebrities in there, you're gonna have more technical advancements, which is good. I'm not saying that's bad, but it's bad on just the pricing of having services, right?
Then you have prior TV shows on Netflix used to have, such as How I Met Your Mother. They used to have a lot of Nickelodeon-based TV shows, a lot of Disney Channel-based TV shows. All these shows got removed and got placed on the corresponding TV provider streaming platform. So now you want to watch something, you gotta pay for NBC, you gotta pay for Disney Plus, you gotta pay for Netflix, you gotta pay for HBO, you gotta pay for Showtime. You want to watch a CBS show, you gotta pay for CBS. It's like, how many different streaming services you gotta pay for?
Eventually,
a lot of people used to view this as cutting their own, my bad, Johnny, but a lot of people used to view getting Netflix and getting Hulu as the package to cut their cable bill, because let's face it, cable is expensive. But now you're cutting your cable bill, but now you gotta put in like 12 to 13 different streaming services to get all the shows that you used to want.
Yeah, like that, having more production costs will cause these companies, these streaming companies, to rank up the cost of using these services, right? So I believe originally Netflix was about $5 to $7 originally, but now it's about $12 to $15.
You're right. Now it's like $15 for Netflix. But here's the thing. I remember when Netflix started cutting TV shows that they had, such as How I Met Your Mother, the Nickelodeon-based TV shows, the Disney-based TV shows, Netflix's excuse was, well, logical excuse was that these shows are expensive. It's so expensive that they're going to remove these shows and they're going to start to create their own content. So just imagine it was cheaper at that time for Netflix to cut, just like us having streaming rights to these TV shows, and create and pay actors, pay directors, have a set. And they went through all of this, and I guess at that point, that's when Netflix realized that making their own TV shows and their own movies are a bit more expensive than they thought, and hence the price raisings later on. But to date, Netflix has now created their own TV shows. So they teamed up with Marvel at one point in time, and they created their own Daredevil TV show, Punisher,
Uncaged,
Jessica Jones, Luke Cage. And it was all great, but once again, this goes back to my con with Netflix. It's just out of nowhere, they pretty much cut all of these shows. My favorite one out of them was The Punisher, and I think it made, two seasons?
It was two.
Yeah,
it was two.
Yeah, two seasons, and they cut it right there. And that's the thing with Netflix. You know, some shows get cut, and I mean, Netflix isn't the only one that does it. There's definitely a lot of live TV shows made by TV stations that get cut all the time. And you would wonder, like, hey, the show is going great. Why did they do it? So maybe it's not a con for Netflix, but it's just a con in the entertainment industry in general. They don't properly evaluate what is doing good and what's doing bad.
Yeah, because there's been a lot of good shows that just got abruptly ended, that such as X-Files for Fox. I'm not totally sure which network it was on, but X-Files, it had a good run, but then they abruptly ended it. They brought it back. It was not good, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, definitely. And another show that I can speak on that I watch, I was a fan of it. It was Designated Survivor. It was an ABC TV show. It ran for a total of 3 seasons. Seasons 1 and 2, I thought they were pretty good. And then they got canceled on ABC, and Netflix took it over. And in my opinion, once again, a con of of streaming is that Netflix took it over, and to me, they kind of ruined the TV show because I guess they didn't have the same writers, different producers, different creative opinions. Netflix, and then the show only ran for 1 season on Netflix. I think they said that they were satisfied with the ending as to why they ended it, but I think it's just the show wasn't doing that great, in my opinion.
Yeah, Netflix, the con to Netflix is it has a lot of hit and misses, and when you find out what happened to that show, it's usually because Netflix is having issues with the writers. Like you mentioned before, that Netflix is working on Avatar: The Last Airbender, which is originally a Western animation show that was on Nick. And now Netflix is going to turn that into a live action series. And Netflix had an issue with the original creators of that show, and the creators left because of creative differences. And now when that show gets released, I don't know if it's going to be good or is it going to be bad because of the fact that Netflix has a lot of misses when it comes to these shows, and the fact that the original creators are not going to work on it.
It's not just Netflix having misses. It's when you go from taking a show that was produced by one set of people and you give a different person to put their take on it, that person's take may not be what the audience is looking for anymore.
Oh, that's definitely X-Files, man. Like when you brought back X-Files, they completely took away the alien conspiracy to make it into, I believe, a government conspiracy, which totally defeats the show. It completely defeats the show that came out years ago in the early 2000s, and that pissed off a lot of the people in the fan base, and it's like Game of Thrones. The ending ruined the whole series.
Exactly. And then, I don't know if you ever watched this NBC show called Heroes.
I know, yes, dude. The you talking about the sequel? Tell me that one.
The original. Well, let's start with the original first. The one that aired in like what was the mid 2000s, I think.
Yeah.
You ever watched that one?
Yeah, man, I watched that.
Well, what was your take? How good was the show, especially season 1 and 2?
I liked season 1. I liked how Peter pretty much caused it. He caused the big explosion because he just couldn't let things alone. Season 2 was alright. I didn't like the last season where pretty much at the end, I believe Claire, that's her name, exposed the world to the superhumans. And it ended with that. And like I believe the show was actually canceled. That wasn't the intended ending. The show didn't get greenlit for another season.
The show was canceled. The show was canceled because they said it wasn't popular. I don't know if you were aware of this, but season 1 of Heroes, it was capturing in the tens of millions of viewers per episode, which is practically, I think in my opinion, it's unheard of to get these numbers nowadays. But they were capturing that. I believe the season that got canceled, they were still in the several millions per episode. So I think, in my opinion, the show is still doing very well viewers-wise. But yet they canceled the show. At least they could have given an ending. And that's the part that is very big in both streaming and shows that are produced by a actual media company, because they both end up doing these abrupt endings or cancellations without giving the fan base a proper ending to the show.
And then later on, these companies try to maybe bring these shows back by having a sequel to it, but then the sequel doesn't really meet up to the original show.
And the thing about it too, with these sequels, sometimes they launch a sequel years after the original ended. The audience for the show has changed. It's either changed, they have different opinions of shows, they're grown up, and they don't want to watch it anymore.
Yeah, it's like an old rapper trying to come back, you know? It's like an old rapper trying to come back and say, yo, remember me?
Yeah.
Remember Hardcore Ricky?
It's crazy. You go back to Avatar real quick, right? That show came back in the day. We were probably in elementary school, when the Avatar Last Airbender came out. And now they're getting rebooted. They have to pretty much capture a new audience. Even
and you know something too, when I think about it, that could have been the reason for the drift between the original creators and Netflix, is maybe Netflix is trying to get that new audience, while the original creators, they're more focused on just the story. They focus on just like, it worked the first time. Dragon Prince is working too. We got awards, we got greenlit for a couple more seasons. Let us keep doing what we're doing, but then Netflix wants that new audience because it has new competition.
But you see, I mean, let's not even go all the way to Netflix yet. A show like Avatar, I mean, it was doing great. I think there was no reason for Nickelodeon to even end the show. And once again, it goes back to these companies, they end shows that could have continued. I mean, Avatar, they had, what was it, like comic books that was made to continue the show for the fans, but the TV producer would never continue the show. You know, I find that very strange sometimes.
Well, I would say this. Avatar is not the first show to have a comic book continue off, because I can name two. Charmed, which came out in 2003, it had about 8 seasons. And the 9th season of Charmed was in a comic book. So if you want to see what the 9th season was, you have to go read the comic book. Same thing for Smallville. Smallville had 10 seasons on television. The 11th season is in the comic books. And the comic book actually says the 11th season. So I just don't quite get why don't they just later on in the years just bring back the show using the content from those comics, especially those comics, is put a lot of effort and detail into continuing the story. Because
you see, at the same time, my question is, why cancel a successful show? And that is something that is a major con for Netflix. It's also a major con for these current producers. And I think at times, these streaming platforms, they try to correct it, because like I said, Designated Survivor was picked up by Netflix.
Lucifer was picked up by Netflix. It had three seasons. Lucifer was
picked up by Netflix. And, you know, I'm sure Netflix is going to continue to do things like that. But when they get picked up and then they lose an actual director or the producer, you're getting different content. So it's like, and then when Netflix drops their own show, such as Punisher, for instance, it's like, why drop something that's doing well?
Well, don't pin me to this, but I believe the reason why Netflix is not producing any more, like producing more seasons to their original Marvel shows is because Disney is, since Disney's making Disney Plus, they don't want to like produce more content on Netflix and split the money from there, where they can just make their own stuff and just abandon the projects. It's like the same way from DC streaming network. Originally, Netflix had Young Justice, which came out like in the mid 2000s, right?
Yeah.
Just like you said, Cartoon Network actually ended the show on a cliffhanger, and the show was doing very well, very well. The fans wanted more seasons, but Cartoon Network didn't oblige that. So later on in the years, Netflix on Twitter spoke to the fans and just asked, do you want this show to come back? Answers was yes. And so Netflix responded back saying, well, if you want this show back, you got to go watch it on our platform to show us that the ratings is worth it. Which they got the green light. He was going to produce it. But then DC Comics, right? They created their own streaming platform called DC Universe. I think it was DC, yeah, DC Stream, DC Stream, right? They took Young Justice from Netflix and put it onto their platform and produced season 3 and season 4 on their own platform. So like that could be a reason why Netflix and Marvel are not doing that much business, because of the fact that like Disney can make their own content on Disney Plus and they don't want to share the profits, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and you see, that's the thing. I mean, obviously, from a business standpoint, everyone wants to make their money. So if they produce their own content, they're getting the revenue generated from the content that they produce. But now we, as the viewers, we got to go and say, oh, man, all right, they got to pay the Netflix bill, got to pay the DC streaming bill. So it goes back to a con, but then ultimately, Young Justice, for instance, that whole problem started years ago when it got canceled off of Cartoon Network. A successful show gets canceled, then I think, I mean, there's no reason to cancel it back then, you know what I mean? Johnny, and that's a problem that keeps occurring, is that shows are on, like, Cartoon Network, for instance, or Designated Survivor on ABC. There's no reason to cancel shows like that.
It's weird, like, you know, if anyone in the comp section is in the TV production business, yo, hit us up and explain how the whole business works, because I'm just puzzled by that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, shed some light as to why why the media companies are canceling these successful a show that's getting decent views. I'm sure it has a huge fan base. Why cancel? I mean, obviously, sometimes there's creative differences with the producer. There is differences. Maybe the main actor wants to go and do their own thing. There's always these instances, but sometimes everything's in line and there is no content differences. There is no nothing like that.
Yeah, yeah. Just if anyone can shed light onto this question, just, you know, let us know. Let us know. But let's get back on this conversation about streaming, how it's changing the game. Didn't say the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, once again, it's like Johnny said, I mean, there's so many different platforms. It's creating growth in a way that, if you were to go back to the 90s, like, yeah, no, I'm not going to watch this at 8 p.m. I'll watch it whenever I want. So it's changing the industry in that aspect. And then the binge watching, I think, that is game changer on its own, because you can sit down here and you can watch an entire, not just series, you can watch an entire TV show back to back without waiting each week. And I think it helps for certain people. Some people, they don't like the rush. They don't, not the rush, they don't like the wait. They don't want to wait 1 week for an episode, much less a couple months or a year for a new season. So it's capturing a different audience. Well, it's capturing, it's giving the chance for shows to go to an audience that it would never have captured previously.
Well, I'm going to interject right here because I agree with you on that aspect on it captures more of an audience, but I'm one of those people that likes having the episode released once a week just for the sake of routine, and like it just gives you more time to have conversations with people about that episode, about a character, have questions on it if it's like it's a mystery show or something like that.
Definitely, and I can see that. I mean, working in the office, when new episodes of like Game of Thrones coming up, every single was a routine. You'd watch the episode, you'd discuss the episode, you'd watch the episode, you'd discuss it. Not just for Game of Thrones, but pretty much everything.
Anything.
The basis that had a fan basis, it would run the same way. So by having these streaming platforms, just binge watching everything, it takes that whole aspect away. But at the same time, for somebody that never watched Game of Thrones, like me, believe it or not, never watched it.
You lame, bro. You lame for that, bro.
I'm not paying for Showtime, man. You hear the name of my team of this podcast? I'm not paying for that.
No, you don't pay for it. You just go to your friend's house that do got it, and you chill with them until the show turns on, and then guess what? Guess what? You just watch the show with your friend. After that episode, you have that nice conversation like, yo, you saw what he did to Jamie? Yo.
Well, unfortunately, my friends aren't in that bracket yet. So once they catch on, I shall do that. But going back to what I was saying before, let's just say someone that, you know, they're sitting in the office, they start a new job, they hear everyone talking about Game of Thrones, they're like, wow, this sounds like a really good show. Have I been living under a rock, like Alex Fletch for the past couple years? Let me go watch the show. They go home, they get on their Showtime app, they start watching the show, and this is the benefit of streaming. Now they can watch from episode one all the way back. They just take their 1 week vacation, they catch up, come to work the next day, and they're in the middle of the conversation with everybody else.
But see, here's the drawback. Because of binge watching, right? You will have people that just don't watch the show because they feel like they don't have the time to watch it. So when you try to have those office conversations, and you say, "Yo, dude, you seen the last episode of Game of Thrones?" Alex would just say, "Oh man, I didn't have the time to watch it, you know. But don't worry, just give me about a week, and I got you." And the next week comes, and they don't got it, and then give it 2 years, and then you start talking about it amongst your group, and Alex is calling you out for spoiling it for him, which makes no sense. The rules for spoiling is only for a week, not 2 years, okay? If it's 2 years and you haven't seen it, sorry, buddy. Sorry, buddy.
You see, I'm one of those people that you can spoil the show for me. I'd rather know the ending before I even start the show, because I need to know what I'm getting into. So, no problem with spoiling shows for me, if anyone has any suggestions. But it also goes along the lines of, you're in the working world, you have kids, gotta drop them to school, gotta take them to whatever it is, might have to go see about your parents. At the end of the day, you just don't have time to watch a show at airing 10 p.m. in the night, because you're too tired after all your daily routine. So, main benefit of streaming. If anyone agrees with me, just leave a comment. If you agree that better off you just watch it on live TV, leave a comment. Let us know what you think.
Well, if you agree with my opinion, which is you watch it every once a week to get that routine, because guess what? Think about this. When you drive home from work, you know on a Monday, The Rookie's going to get is about to be on ABC. So you got something to look forward to. And you don't have to feel that annoying pressure when you see those 13 episodes and you only got that one day off and you're wondering, am I going to watch all of this? Or nah, I'm going to watch this next week, which never comes. I'm just saying, that's the drawback for me. I'm just that person that wants that conversation. Because another thing I look at binge watching is the wave for some of these shows, it's only lit when it's still ongoing, right? It's still ongoing, as like there's more seasons to come. But once it's officially done, it burns out. It burns out. The Office came out years ago. It's officially done. People still are raving about it. People still talk about it. People are trying to get that show back, you know?
And you see, this is, I think, one of the benefits of streaming is because of this, a brand or a TV show like The Office still has the clout and the fame that it is today. Because believe it or not, I watched The Office. I started it October 2019. I ended it mid-November 2019. Prior to that, I never watched The Office. And in my office, I brought up The Office, and everyone started raving about it. I mean, the reason I got into it, as I said back in like episode one of the podcast, or two it might have been, they had like trainings at work where they use it. I'm like, you know, this is a good show. I like it. I'll start watching it. Thanks to streaming, I did it.
Well, see,
everyone in the office was happy to talk about these episodes with me because, let's face it, almost everyone loved The Office, and getting to talk about those episodes again is just great.
Yeah, I would say binge watching is great to watch old shows that already been completed. So that works.
So I get what you're saying there. So you don't care if somebody binge watches it and brings it back up with you, because you know everybody can miss a show. That's fine. But you don't like it when there's an ongoing TV show that is also being binge watched by someone, such as Game of Thrones, for instance.
Because like I said, for Netflix, right, when it comes to their original content, it wasn't IP that they took from another network. It's actually their own IP. It's lit when it's being produced. But once it's done, it burns out very quickly. It burns out very quickly. Because, like, think about this. Orange is New Black. Everyone's raving about it, right? Once it's done, the wave for it, the fire that people had for it, it went out. People are not really talking about the episode. People are not really having like discussions about it. It's done. It's done. It's like a new rapper that came out it's like a new rapper that just came out 2 years ago and then he's gone. Like Fetty Wap. Fetty Wap came out 2017, I believe, for the whole year, and then after 2017, he's just completely not in the atmosphere. He's not in the space no more. He's still producing music, but no one's listening.
Hey, man, he had a good run. He also got a liquor brand on, too.
Well, yeah, he's great for business, but I'm talking about for the artistry. I'm talking about for, like, his music. The music is completely just dried up. Like, people are not running to Spotify to go see his new album like that. No one's having discussions about the album. And I feel that same way for original content on streaming platforms such as Netflix, where they have binge watching. It's easy and quick to consume, but when it's consumed, it doesn't have a lasting effect on the culture. You know, Game of Thrones is forever talked about. Even with its bad ending, it is still talked about. But if we talk about Orange and the New Black, not many people talk about it. It's a nice little referral. It's a nice little hey, remember back in the day, we had Orange and New Black? Stranger Things.
More so what you're saying is, when new content is being produced, you would rather the content be dropped one episode at a time, let it build a gap, build a following, build an audience, build a discussion, and then not just say season one's done, put the season one on a streaming platform for someone that missed it, that's completely fine.
Yeah, and that's just one episode. Like, for DC Stream Network, right? When they had Young Justice, when they did season 3, season 4, they released 3 episodes on a Monday.
Okay.
So, I'm more of just like, don't give me everything all at once. Because either one, I just don't have the time to watch all the episodes. Or two, I'm going to feel intimidated to watch all of it because I feel like I don't have the time to, and then I just delay watching the show to the point where, like, I'm just watching the clips on YouTube and faking it in the conversations. Like, yeah, yo, remember, you seen the episode of Game of Thrones when, like, Jaime kicked Tyrion in the face? It's like, yeah, and then like, I gotta, like, fake the rest of the conversations when people bring up stuff that's not on the clips. I'm like, yeah, so you remember when Brianna, like, went to the queen to say this? I'm like, yeah, sure, definitely.
So I see your con on everything. Your con is more of my positive because I like having everything there. So I guess this is where we want our audience to go and leave a town, because, you know, comment under our Twitter, comment under the Instagram, say you rather binge watch something or you rather, you know, 1 week at a time. So say 1 week if you're on Johnny's side, say binge if you're on my side there, everyone.
I'm really curious
to see everyone's opinion on that.
Yeah, yo, join the wave, you know. Johnny Facts, you know, my name, you know, my last name. It's all facts, you know I'm right. You know I'm right. But if you wanna fake post, like my friend Axel Flex, Flex on the gram, Flex is fake money, this fake car fixed. Go join that side, you know.
Hey man, sometimes you gotta fake it till you make it.
Nah man, that don't work no more. It don't work no more, man. You gotta be real, you know what I'm saying? Real stories.
I guess to go back there is both positives, there is both negatives. I mean, you know, it's like you said, you know, Johnny, you're able to have this routine. You're able to watch the show when it airs. Once again, on the other side of it, you know, some people cannot do that.
Which I agree.
There may be a guy that's at work at 10 p.m. when the show is airing. His only option of watching it is a better stream when he gets home on like Hulu or something, so he can catch up. You know, so yeah, obviously there's the pros, there's the cons of streaming. It depends on your preference here. I think where the ultimate con comes in is with the quality of what is being produced. Whether be it they're rushing to produce a whole season at once, or it might just be, you know, at first Netflix had a smaller budget. I mean, yeah, give or take, you can tell the shows that initially got put out. Like, if you were to compare season one of Daredevil to season one of Arrow, you can tell the budget difference in these shows. You know, so it comes down to things like that. But then, what was your take on that, Johnny, by the way, before I even move on?
Wait, my take on those two shows, or just
that? Just in general, when content is being produced by these streaming providers, do you think they're able to push out quality content, or do you think now they're able to push out quality content because they've built up such a larger budget? Because I mean, Daredevil is a much older show compared to what's being put out now.
I say now, they're able to produce great content. It's just getting the right people involved. It's getting the right people involved, understanding how to build that new audience for that new content, and having new, I say, new methods of distributing that content, because...
Okay. Let me just even go back. Do you think it's easier to put out a show, one episode per week, or to drop the whole show at once to be binge watched?
I say both. I say both. Honestly, if you can find a way to do both and whatever platform, it'll work out because you will answer both audience. You have audience that's gonna binge watch show, and then you have a audience that's just wanna watch it once a week or twice a week. Because it's two different lifestyles that you can, if you can find a way to cater that and say find a content creator that caters to those needs, because Netflix, some of these Netflix shows, they're not really episodes. It's more of a movie. So you have a Netflix show that's like 13 episodes. You're watching a 13-hour movie, and people, some people like that. Some people like watching a long movie versus someone like me who just want to watch everything in parts, but not so close where I can guess what the next episode is going to be like. I like being surprised. But if Netflix can find a way to make can do both worlds, it would kill the game. Uh-huh. To me, it would kill the game if it does that.
I see. Did you ever watch the show Narcos on Netflix?
No, but right now it's what, season 3? Season 2?
So, as of right now, there was the original Narcos, and now there's Narcos Mexico, which I believe is going to be on season 3. Definitely great show to check out. I'd say that's a good gauge of the quality of TV show that Netflix is being produced. I'd say they're, in my opinion, their top quality like TV show that they're being produced. It has a decent storyline. The actors are great. It's great. But I'd say if you were to gauge the progress on Netflix, you would look at season 1 of Daredevil, which I thought was a great show, by the way. I'm not saying the show is bad, but you can see like the budget difference, in my opinion, if you were to compare it to Narcos.
Oh, yeah, no. Especially on the year, when you can like timestamp what year production got better, you can see how the game changed because of it. So, just Netflix is, to me, Netflix has not yet reached its peak. I feel like it still has more potential to do greater and bigger things. Like, it has not reached its peak.
Actually, before you even go to answer this question, do you think cable and satellite TV will be relevant 15 to 20 years?
Cable and satellite won't be, but I say some of the methods of how they produce and how they release their content will be taken.
So you see, my thing is, like I said, cable and satellite maybe not, but obviously I don't think these producers, NBC, CBS, I don't see these guys going anywhere, but now I just see a lot of streaming services. I see you paying $10 a month for 40, 50 services if you want to catch up on all the shows that people used to normally catch up on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the society or the future of the TV entertainment industry that is. Unless everyone decides, no streaming fees, let's just have ads on everything, and then it'll just be a bunch of apps on your streaming devices. You go one out of two ways.
Yeah, no, like once society has moved on to streaming, there's gonna be ads. There's gonna be a new option on Netflix that's gonna ask, if you want to watch your show with ads, you choose this option, it costs so much money. But if you wanna watch your shows without ads, click this and you're gonna pay this much money. It's the same thing like YouTube. If you wanna listen to me, it's like YouTube, like if you wanna watch if you wanna listen to music while not having the application on your phone, you have to go pay for that subscription service.
And you know, that's also the thing. A lot of these companies that were advertised, the most successful option may not be live TV anymore. I mean, that was the go-to way to get whatever product you're doing across. But now, streaming providers, Netflix, Hulu, Disney, like you said, YouTube, even social media sites like Facebook and Instagram, those are where the audience is at. Everyone's on their phone. Everyone's on their laptops. Everyone's on their tablets. The big old 50-inch TVs that people used to praise back in the days, I mean, they're popular still, but they're not the rave of today, and they're definitely not going to be the rave of 10 years from now.
No. Like, right now, we have smart TVs. And because and thanks to smart TVs, you have access to your apps. You have access to your Netflix app. You have access to your Disney Plus app. That's television. Like, the actual TVs are going towards now. They're going towards connecting to the internet to do streaming.
Question: do you pay a cable or satellite bill in your house?
I pay internet.
Just internet. Just streaming, right?
Yeah, just streaming. That's all I do.
And same thing about me. I mean, definitely. And here you go, folks. The biggest change that streaming has done on both Johnny and myself. We no longer have a cable bill. We have the internet bill. We have the streaming platforms that we use. And not just us, but I'm sure a lot of you listening there, you can relate that you don't have that cable bill anymore. Maybe you just have Netflix. Maybe you have Netflix, Hulu, and Disney Plus. Are you fine with, you know, just doing that to everyone that's listening? Are you okay with that? Are you okay with adding on extra streaming services that you have to pay for? Or do you think everything should just be one place? Just give us your thoughts on that, guys. I know there's a lot for you guys to comment on, but there's a lot of content that we need to further discuss and we need your opinion on.
And one more question, guys. Just, do you guys miss just like randomly changing channels just to see what's on? Just to see if you like it? Because I miss that, to be honest. I miss just like changing the channel and then like a movie showing on and you haven't seen that movie, you haven't even heard about it, and she's watching. Like, okay. Yeah, no.
That brings up a point. I miss it, but I also, it was always 50-50 because I'd either catch something that's good or I would catch disappointment.
True, but I don't know, it's like a surprise. Like flipping channel to TV Land, TBS, or HBO, and just trying to see like what random show you're going to watch and get into. It's exciting because another thing I would say, see, yeah, I am more just against just binge watch, even if like I do see the benefits for it. But it's just like, for me, when it comes to binge watching, it's like junk food, right? Once you eat everything up, that's, you're done, but you're still hungry for content. But guess what? You consumed all that content. So doing it again, you don't have the same feeling. Because the fact that you can predict each episode, each scene, because you watch it all, it's the experience is not fun.
Yep. So everyone that's listening out there, I want you guys to also touch on what Johnny just said. Are you guys a channel flipper? Do you guys miss that? Or are you perfectly happy with the new me? Let us know. This is definitely a topic that we want to touch on again, and we will 100% have a second part to this episode.
Yep, you know, and one more thing, guys, just, you know, if you want to be right, you know, go for facts. But if you want to be fake and you want to be wrong, just go for flex.
If you want to flex on the facts, go for Alex Flex. And on that note, we'll catch you later.
All right. You'll see you on the next stop.
Later, guys.